Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Coming up in this edition of TV Black Box, how Facebook conned the Australian government, and the truth is we might just have to cop it. Big changes coming to the Logies, and you could join the judging panel. And Foxtel's big boss, Patrick Delaney, well, he's laying it all in the line, all on the line, in fact, in a very revealing interview. Welcome to the podcast where people in the industry get their news. This is recorded live in front of a streaming audience, and this is TV Black Box.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is TV Black Box, bringing you the inside goss from the TV industry.
Indeed it is, TV Black Box, and for another week as we stream live around the interwebs at 8 o'clock Sydney time every Tuesday night. Joining me to do such a thing is none other than David Robinson!
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God. I love that. Yes, 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 yes. It's a yes from me.
I was going to save it for TV Binge Box.
No. I adore it. I adore it. Look, you can't find me on Facebook because I've cancelled my subscription, and you'll find out why in just a moment.
Very
get
soon.
Those people. Zuckerberg, off your shoot, mate.
Also joining us is none other than the viewer's advocate, Steve Monkey Moke.
I'm loving this. Come on, Malky. Get on board. I'm loving this. I love it.
Good evening, friends.
Give me a bit of time with new technology and I'll get there, Robert.
I love it. Friends, I'm recording tonight on the Lynette, the Dark and Young People, and I pay my respects to their elders past and present. They would weep openly at whatever the hell that was.
The Dark and Young People!
No.
All right. Come on.
This is not a thing. It's not a thing.
It's a thing, but it just needs to be pulled back a little bit. But I love it, though. Toy.
Hey, yeah. Have you noticed? I don't know, Malk, if you can take the full screen of me, but I am at the Hyatt this week in my Sydney travels.
Cha-ching.
I've got a casting couch behind me.
My God.
I'm very not comfortable with all of this.
Nor I. So, all right, and if we want to book a room at the Hyatt, where do we go to, obviously, Rob?
You just call 1-800-HYATT and tell them Rob sent you for a 20% discount. You better get a discount.
Gross. Next.
Goodness me. All right. Well, look, there is a lot to discuss tonight, so let's get into it, because newsrooms around the country were left in shock on Friday when Facebook's parent company, Meta, announced it would not be renewing its multi-million dollar deals to pay for news content. The current three-year deal is worth around $250 million, and it's claimed this move will cut jobs and cut profits by around 9%. Mog, Meta did these deals to avoid being forced into the news bargaining code 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to tell you, I think this has been a long con. They got themselves in. They did this because they didn't want to be legislated by the government. They've now done this. They spent $270 million and went, 3 years, we'll do it. Mm. And now they're pulling the plug because they've had time to plan for it.
Sure. And that likely might be the case. And look, it was a poorly planned execution when Facebook did it 3 years ago. And I'm confident that the parent company of Google, Alphabet, will be sitting back and going, we've only got 12 months left on our deals. Let's see how this goes.
Yep.
It's diabolical for news organisations everywhere, not least of which Australia. And I think that it will be a tough road for the government to play, you know, intermediary or negotiator on behalf of the news organizations with Meta, because frankly, Meta can just go, well, cool, see ya.
Yeah, this is the real problem, Robbo, because Meta is saying news, people looking at news fell by 80%. But if I was to think, if I was Meta and I knew that I wanted to get rid of these deals, maybe, just maybe, I'd change the algorithm so that if people posting news stories, maybe, just maybe, those posts wouldn't be treated with a priority in the news feeds.
Yeah, possibly, but they're saying that it amounts to 3% of their overall revenue, which accounts for, wait for it, $57 billion. So 3% of their $1.7 trillion is $57 billion. Yeah. This is rubbish. This is absolute rubbish. Look, the thing is, you can't create something and then steal it. Simple as that. We've known that for years. You can't steal something that's created. You cannot. And this is the problem.
Is it stealing, Robbo?
I think it is, because if you're making money off content that's created by someone else,
okay,
and you're not paying for it,
let's get really personal on this. TV Black Box do our stuff and we promote our content through Facebook. Now, we are not the world's biggest organization, least of all in Australia.
What?
We weren't included in the deal that the Australian government negotiated with Meta. So we get a big fat zero.
Blacklisted when they dropped all news content.
Yeah, that's right. But they took us off when they killed it all away.
Yeah.
But we got our stuff back. Hey, welcome. We're glad you're all here. Should we be getting a slice of the pie as well? And, who we are.
Of course you should. If you're creating content that they don't own, then they need to pay for it.
Have you read the agreement that you sign when you sign up to Facebook? They do own it.
Can I bring in a bigger problem for all newsmakers? So, great. They want Facebook and Meta to pay for the content. That's fine. But let's just say Meta is taking a hard line around the world with this, okay?
Mm.
So what is it when... Because you've got to remember, these news organizations, they use Facebook to promote their stories and get click and referral traffic through to their news websites. Yep. So if Michael Miller did an opinion piece on news.com.au and I think in the AFR saying that, I forget the word, it starts with D, that they need to be, I'd have to look it up, but basically getting them. No, there's a term, and I'm sorry, I'm having a mental blank, but there is a term that when Facebook essentially has to go back to the bargaining table with all the news outlets and be compelled by government. The reason they did these deals in the first place was so they wouldn't be subjected to the news bargaining code. So they're not currently subjected to it. So they did these deals. Now, what they're hoping 3 years later, change of government, that, you know, they're not going to be pulled back. But even if they do, if it goes down to the path where Facebook says, fine, we're not going to allow your content on Facebook, we'll black ban it, where does that leave all these news organizations that use Facebook as a publicity tool to drive traffic back? I was having a chat with someone who understands the inner workings of Facebook and digital news media in this country, and they said these outlets have to be very, very careful because the amount of referral traffic they will lose to their websites will probably be bigger than the 9% profit they're losing here. Like, we know that it's in the vicinity of $10, $15 million a year for each outlet.
To a certain demographic, though, there is a certain demographic that has said to Facebook, bye-bye, not interested. Facebook is now an older demographic platform.
Sure.
So what you're going to lose is that older demographic. So I think that the
point of automatic
the organization
where you push on, Robbo.
Yes.
Facebook own Instagram. Like, Meta own both. So
which is fine.
If they're stopping
which is fine.
It on one, they'll stop it on the other.
Which is fine, but Facebook is the brand, though. The brand of Meta is Facebook. So you can change the name to Meta, but it is I believe that. When you say Meta, I think Facebook. That's what I think.
Sure, but it'll also
Facebook
dry up on Insta.
Yeah, but Insta is fine. But also Insta is also having this idea of you're sharing reels, go to TikTok. You don't share, you don't do reels anymore, you go to TikTok. That's the thing though. So this idea that Facebook is the be all and end all is rubbish now. It's an older demographic. They are not getting subscribers like they used to. And this is the thing. I think that lawmakers are scared of Facebook because they still think that Facebook has this massive power. They bloody don't. It
still has a lot of users, Robert.
I know that, but they are reducing. They are not going year-on-year growth.
Yeah, the and challenge that's
why TikTok they don't is year-on-year growth.
But it's not reducing at the same rate that, for example, free-to-air television audiences are.
Of course it's not. But if you don't own it, you pay for it. It's a simple. I feel like I'm missing something. Sure. I feel like I'm missing something. If you don't own the content.
And that's an argument. What you're saying is an absolute argument. The
fair argument here
is that if they go too hard on Facebook, will Facebook kill all news on its platform, therefore stopping referral traffic? Let's get to a bit of feedback. Clint Tice says, why can't the news outlets create their own Facebook news book? There was a Facebook tab, and that's what Facebook has taken away, Clint.
Yeah.
The problem is the networks, 9, 7, 10, News Corp, they all have their own outlets, but nothing is as powerful as Facebook. Daniel Graham Rose, hello, Daniel, long time no see, says, first time here, pleased to see Robbo is dressed up. That wasn't actually the comment I was after.
Oh, you got his own one.
I always dress up. I always wear a collared shirt, don't I?
Lisa Young says, does anyone actually use Facebook for news? Now, here's the thing, Lisa. They don't on that tab, to be honest, but they were stories get shared on Facebook. That's how things go viral. You know, like a news item gets shared.
I love Lisa Young. I think she's great.
If you're going to Facebook for news, then you've got bigger issues. Keep your feedback coming in through our Facebook page.
That's true.
And also through our YouTube page. We get it all. So
bless you.
Please keep it coming in. All right, let's move on because the Seven Network has launched a campaign calling on the federal government to amend its proposed changes to the anti-siphoning legislation. The social media campaign aims to highlight that the current bill before Parliament only protects Australians' access to free sport via broadcast TV, but not if they watch TV through the internet via an app like 7plus. Have a listen to a bit of the campaign.
Well, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm almost ready. I'm just going to get the right spot to do it. All right. Throw it to me again like we really meant it.
Have a listen and a look if you're on the stream to some of the campaign.
Aussie, so of course I'm confused about why the government doesn't want to guarantee free sport for everyone.
We're Aussies. Of course footy is played on an oval.
We're Aussies. Of course I don't have an aerial, so I want to guarantee that I can stream sport for free.
We're Aussies. Of course my apartment doesn't have an aerial.
We're Aussies. Of course I want as many people as possible to see iconic sporting events for free.
We're Aussies. Of course we don't want to have to pay to see the sports that we love.
We're Aussies. Of course the rules need to change so I can stream the footy for free.
We're Aussies. Of course sport needs to be free, even if you don't have an aerial.
We're Aussies. Of course we want to stream our cricket from the beach.
We're Aussies. Of course sport should be free for all Australia.
For 30 years, free sport on TV has been protected. This should continue for Australians who want to watch sports on online TV. Learn more at freeforeveryone.com.au.
We're an Australian TV network. Of course we're hypocrites.
No, hang on. Before we get to that, nice to see that Channel 7 has employed an eight-year-old to make their big campaigns to get this across. Yeah. I mean, shot an iPhone.
Hold on. This is based on a TikTok trend of course I'm this or of course I'm that. So they've taken that. They're going after the young people, which is weird because young people don't watch free to wear. So they've taken a trend on TikTok and they put it on there. So when people watch that, they go, is this a broadcast network? Why are we shooting mobile phones? Why are we doing this?
I looked at that.
It's a trend.
This is Amateur Hour from a big company, and they were raving about who did it. But you're saying they've shot it like this on purpose so that it becomes like when people see it on TikTok, they'll be like, oh, what's this people talking? We're Aussies.
Trying to attract
Aussies.
Younger
we like to spit on the floor. We're Aussies. We like to I don't know.
So I'm Robbo. I use a lot of hairspray. I'm Robbo. I wear a lot of makeup. I'm Robbo. I wear a collared shirt.
I'm McKnight.
And I do
I'm
every
always
time.
Right. I'm McKnight. Oh, that's
no,
right.
That's
yeah.
not what it meant.
Correct. So what we're seeing here is a mismatch of what's happening. So it's a big TikTok trend of where you can do anything. You can say, hi, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this.
Right.
You shoot it guerrilla style. The problem is, as Malk said there, is that the people who appreciate that kind of approach are not watching free-to-air anyway.
They want
so it's
them
a
to
really
watch the
weird...
on the free-to-air apps. Anyway, okay, Robbo, you've convinced me about the promo. I retract everything that I... Genuinely, it probably, though, not worth sending it to media people who will look at that, like me, going, this is not a broadcast type ad, because there was nothing in their press release that said, you'll notice we've changed the way we shoot this to reach a younger audience. There was no explanation like
Correct.
For the old farts like me to go, oh, I understand where they're coming from. I saw it as a piece of shit, to be honest, but you've actually sold me on the design around it. I just had no background and knowledge of it. So let's park that for the moment. What about the fact that Seven is advocating, along with free-to-air TV, that free sport, like the anti-siphoning list, they want the rights to have that free sport on their streaming platform because they offer it for free. Foxtel says, we'll give it for free on Kayo. We've all got platforms. This is where it now starts to get murky as we enter the digital world, I think, Malk.
Strap in, friends. I got a lot of views about this whole thing.
You better take yourself full screen.
All right, well, I'm ready to go. Calm down. Let's do it like this. Hey, so this is the situation, right? About, I'm going to say 5 to 8, it could be 10 years ago, Nine made the decision that when they negotiate for particularly sporting rights, they want all of it. They don't just want broadcast. They want their broadcast. They want to do this. And they want the streaming rights. They leant into that. Absolutely, it costs them more money. Absolutely. The outcome is now, however, if you want to watch the NRL game as an example, that Channel 9 are free-to-air broadcasting over the air, you can jump on 9 Now and watch it. When it comes to the grand final, when it comes to the State of Origin matches, it's not just is it live streamed, but you can also jump on and see multiple camera angles and do all sorts of funky shit that way because they've got the rights to be able to do that because that was the nature of their agreement with the NRL.
Quick side note, you used to be able to do that when digital TV first came in with the set-top boxes.
Yes.
When you actually used to be able to watch cricket stump cam.
Only if you had a very specific set-top box.
There was only one set-top box. It was when they literally first came out. It was anyway. Sorry, Malk. I just wanted to throw in a bit of TV history there.
So we understand absolutely that in the sports rights that Seven hold, their agreement with the Australian Cricket Board has just changed/renewed with the end of summer cricket here. They weren't able to stream cricket. They now can with the new agreement coming this summer. This season of the AFL, Seven cannot live stream the rounds that they broadcast. They can do the grand final. That's been sort of worked out. But the 2025 that all changes again.
Yep.
So it does kind of level the stuff out. But what Seven are ultimately raising the attention of, or trying to make us all aware of, is that the current bill before the government is kind of hedging bets or allowing for a Foxtel or a Prime Video or a Stan to buy the digital streaming rights essentially out from under them in a negotiation context. Now, that's only a problem if you don't front up and go, here is all of the money so we can have all of the things. If you're trying to lowball the code, then they're going to say, well, yes, but you can only have free-to-air and only have this stuff. You don't have to have this. And it's not a part of the anti-siphoning list to do this because it shouldn't be. Because quite frankly, if you are serious about your sport, you're going to treat it seriously and its view and the viewers of that sport and make it available to them like Foxtel do.
Anyone watching on the live stream is going to see, Robbo, we could see you putting your hand up. We could see you.
Oh, I thought we were like full screen.
One down the bottom.
It's not like old VMix.
Sorry.
Dear viewers and those listening on the audio, we're teaching Robbo things about
how video works
on air and
how internet works.
As far as rolling in clips.
Sorry, I'm used to broadcast television. Look, I think that I didn't know that. I'm so glad I wasn't going like, you know.
No, but that's here. What we used to do, put our hands up on the.
We did. Look, I think for a grassroots campaign, though, I think James, I know you're listening. I know you're watching James Warburton, a very big fan of the show. You need to get to the grassroots of people. And that is, we need to see Irene and we need to see Alf from Home and Away saying, look, you bloody drunkos, you've got to get on board. That's what you've got to do. You've got to get people who, like, there are lots of talent in that video. Barretts, I love Barretts. I think it's fantastic. But there are lots of people in there that I thought, well, I don't know from a sporting point of view. I believe, as a non-sports watcher, that sports should be free. But we need to see Alf. We need to see Irene. We need to see those kind of people saying, this is what's at stake. This is what you're going to lose, and this is why you should fight for it.
Can I pose I think that's really important. Flaw in your solution, Robbo?
I doubt that there would be one, but you
I'll have a go, can I? As you rightly pointed out, the nature of that ad in this case isn't aimed at people who would know what an Irene or an Alf are. This is aimed at people who are ostensibly...
I need you to wash your mouth out.
They do, and they would recognise probably two people in that ad. The young woman, and maybe if they're lucky, you know, Emma Freeman or Bruce McAvaney. The challenge around this is that...
Love Bruce.
Here's the hard stats. Young people aren't watching broadcast TV. They're watching it via catch-up and via BVOD, absolutely unequivocally. So if you're going to show this on your streaming platform, first of all, they're probably not watching it because they don't want to watch the ads. Secondly, if you're going to drop that then onto TikTok to say, hey, we should do this, they're going to go, we don't care, because they've already found ways or have agreed that, you know, I will shell out my hard earns because I'm a, you know, let's hypothetically say I'm a huge AFL fan. Me and the three mates that I live with have gone, we will chip in and pay for our KO subscription because it gives us a whole bunch of benefits beyond just being able to watch every game of AFL except the grand final live. So we're already down that path. So this is actually targeting an ad campaign at people who don't stream and don't care about it.
I think the one thing we are seeing through all of this is James Warburton might be leaving in June or July, but he's hasn't given up the fight yet. It really feels like he's there until the last day when he walks out the door. He's not. It's certainly not, you know, how a lot of CEOs, they're like, I'll be around for the next few months and you never see them again. He is absolutely on the floor. I saw him the other day walking the floor. He is there having chats and he's fighting these fights. That's what he's doing at the moment. So interesting. Anyway. You've
got to keep a man busy, don't you?
You do, because moving on, there are some big changes are coming to the Logies this year. Malk interrupts an intro. We know, I'm going to do that again because, Malk, what's the rule?
You don't talk when Rob's doing his
we
intro.
We don't interrupt the intro.
Can you hear this? That's my heart breaking every time you do that.
Good.
No, I love it.
All right, moving on. Yeah. Careful. Some big changes are coming to the Logies this year, with most of the popular categories to be replaced with peer-voted awards. A call has gone out for industry workers to become judges. Three awards will continue to be presented as most popular, with nominees decided by a panel of independent industry experts before being voted on by the Australian public. This, of course, includes the Gold Logie. Other categories will use the word best instead of most popular. Robbo, I have actually applied to be a judge.
I think that's all right.
Yeah, I think that's all right. 30 years in the industry.
I think that's all right.
Working at Channel 7 in multiple roles, and I think they'll still find a way not to include me. But I actually don't mind this idea of like an Oscars, you know, how they've got hundreds of voters for the Oscars. You would really get an interesting... It's an evolution and one I'm actually not minding.
I love this. So with the Oscars, if the moment that you win an Academy Award, you are then part of the Academy. So then you can vote on those specific areas. So I think this is fantastic. I think this gives a legitimacy to the Logies that it needs. I love the idea of being best, not most outstanding, but best. And I love this.
And you can still vote on three awards.
Of course you can. There's still a public vote to it.
Yes, you know what? They're the only three you want to vote on. When you go through that Logies Award category, you're like, oh, I don't know anyone in this category. You know, like there's some I'd actually like to skip, right?
Sorry, Robbo. I like the idea. Yeah, I like the idea of a Logies Academy. So if you win one, you're part of it. If you're also part of a different area where you are a professional or an industry person, you can also be part of it. I really like this. And this is long overdue. The Logies are hokey, and we love that for that, but that's kind of lost its shine a little bit. So we love that the Logies are a little bit off kilter, but I think we need to bring it back into, so these are best ofs. How it's taken us this long to separate drama from comedy is blows my mind. Ludicrous. How could you have Deborah Mailman in the same in the same category as, you know, someone from you know, Talk About Your Generation or any other kind of comedy? I couldn't think of
it. When was the last time you watched television?
Wow, 1990 something. Was that the last time you watched?
No, thank God you're here. Thank God you're here was what I was trying to think of. But the idea that you can have her with an actor there is ridiculous, yeah. And that's so overdue. I love the best of. I love separating things like that. This is where the Logies need to be at this particular time. I think it's fantastic. Now, I remember, Rob, I said to you when I first became a reporter, I'm like, oh, can I be like up for new talent? And Network 10 said no, and I'll never forget.
That's because they hated Studio 10. You know, like the year that Studio 10 was down to win was the year they decided, this was the year they decided our producers shouldn't be going up on stage. Like, they actually said that, and then the project won, and Craig Campbell went up on stage. I wasn't bitter at all, but I didn't feel singled out or anything.
Anyway,
like
you do love is the critical thing here is I agree in part. Effectively halving the number of awards that are going to be presented should mean the show finishes earlier. Promise you it won't.
Wanted to finish early.
No.
What?
They don't want it to finish early because it keeps the share bigger throughout the night, the longer they go, because people, you might lose some, but people are hanging on for the gold Logie. I think Sam Pang gets a bottle of Moet or a bonus if it goes until midnight.
Okay, well done, Sam. Fine. If that's what they want to do, great. I think it's pointless, but well done, everyone involved. I like the idea of the move to best. I absolutely agree that the Logie should be celebrating the best of Australian content. I absolutely agree with a comment that flew past before from Ford Carter here that said, it's great to see we no longer have two awards for every single category, but I would love to see more recognition for the television writers who create the drama we love at the Logies. I think that's entirely fair.
I think best writing or something like that, and best writing can cover comedy as well, so you don't need to split up the categories, but a best writing category I think would be fantastic, actually, because these are the people that create the words that end up on screen.
It's so critical. We should be. And I know they have other opportunities, less public opportunities, if you think of it like that, where writers are presented and do get awards for the work they do. But they are the absolute engine room of drama in this country, drama and comedy in this country, and they should be profiled on things like the Logies to make sure that we all know and appreciate who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on, because coming up, Foxtel's big boss Patrick Delaney lays it all on the line in a very revealing interview. More bad news for the industry with more job cuts. We'll go across the ditch to find out about that, and we'll find out what everyone's been watching in the TV binge box.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, as I roll down the script.
How are you doing, Rob? Mid-show conversation, what's happening?
This is always the part of the show where it goes wrong, but I will leave this in the audio feed, maybe. We'll see. You have to be finding out.
You're doing a good job.
Thank you, my friend.
That'll get cut out.
Yeah. With the launch of Hubble, Foxtel, Robbo, talking over an intro. With the launch of Hubble, Foxtel's big boss, Patrick Delaney, has been on the hustings. That's given journalists an opportunity to grill the man taking the business into the future. Now, our good friend, Tim Burrows, had a very interesting chat with Delaney on the Unmade podcast about the past, present, and future of Foxtel. Tim began by asking what was waiting in his strategic inbox when he came back in 2018.
I mean, Foxtel's got such a great history. Had in the day peaked as a very, very profitable company, $1 billion EBITDA, with 2 million subscribers. But by the time 2018 came, the world had been repriced by Netflix being $10. So what looked like value at 100 was no longer. So the first thing in at your metaphorical inbox was a big downdraft of revenues, like big. And it was mainly through spin down of packages and churn that wasn't necessarily evident from the surface. You had to get right underneath because of the amount of discounting that was going on, and also the bundling through Telstra. The one thing we knew was that we were paying for all of the we're paying content rights for movies, drama, and sport for the whole country, but we were only monetizing those rights to less than 20% through Foxtel. And we weren't in the streaming. And the Foxtel brand itself stood for something, right, that was almost meaningless, almost dirty to a different generation, the streaming generation that had gone in, that think mum and dad are silly for having Foxtel. And we weren't participating in that market. We had a little business called Foxtel Now, which actually still exists, right? My personal view is if we hadn't have put the word Foxtel in, right, it had been a separate business, it would have got off to a better start. The package was priced a little cheaper. So what we needed to do, at the end of the day, the business is about monetizing rights, and we needed to get money for our sports rights. So the first thing we did was, okay, can we get some life back into Foxtel? Can we make it grow? Can we do that through 4K and cricket? We went and spent a lot of money on doing that. We did big campaigns, and we couldn't get a pulse back. Right, so we flipped into the main strategy, which was maintain Foxtel as long as we can, right? Run it for cash, stop doing above the line promotions that annoy subscribers, try and hang on to the subscribers as long as we can. So be content with older, richer Australians inside Foxtel and people that love, right? And we could see that was naturally going to continue down. But then get into the younger Australians, single income, no kids, double income, no kid, and young families. Now, young families in, say, the Kim Williams era was the era. Young families are the ones that want good value entertainment, and they stay at home and watch the whole family, right? That is multi-channel or multi-app pay TV. So we went about doing the brave thing with Kayo. And a lot of people said, you know, you're too late to streaming, you're going to go broke. And then when we launched Kayo, they said, this will kill Foxtel, you're going to go broke. But strategically, that was what we had to do. Culturally, because this company had been Australia's powerhouse, there was an attitude inside that we know best, that we can shoo off Netflix. We shouldn't carry Netflix, which was always a confusing decision to me because Foxtel's an aggregator of content. Why wouldn't you carry Netflix if our customers want it? So culturally inside Foxtel to start with, we started talking about the new world, but it was pretty clear that if we started a business like Kayo inside Foxtel, it would get killed. And we'd done that previously, right? We started Presto, did it on a terrible platform, but the culture would be to protect Foxtel. And Presto, unfortunately, didn't work. So Kayo was set up in a different building with a different CEO and a different team and to make sure, you know, that we could move forward. Now, over time, and I do think, you know, COVID, we thought the world was going to end literally. And financially, we all thought we would go broke. But it was a time to use that crisis where we really did do big cultural shifts. Basically, the whole middle management of Foxtel left. Right? And middle management is that part that stops things. Senior managers, you know.
And you say that line almost as a throwaway line, but the change, and I guess the determination required for that middle management to leave, isn't to be underestimated.
Well, and I certainly didn't mean to throw it away, because it was a very harrowing and sad time for all of us. We were in the middle of COVID, and we had to shed nearly 1,000 staff. Excuse me. And they were shed on Teams meetings. Some people had been with the company 20 years. So it was a sad moment, but that was where the rump of the cost that needed to come out. But it was also where we needed to get some fluidity to get a completely different cultural shift.
And that's what I'm getting at, is I suppose it wasn't just about cost, it was about delivering culture change.
To move into a more fluid, hey, this is the story, we're maintaining Foxtel, we're growing through streaming, and we've got this other pillar, which is we've got to be really efficient. I'd say to all of the staff, we have to be match fit, all right? Which means we need to shift to outsourcing. If someone else can do it more efficiently, we need to shift there, right? We don't need to own all of our infrastructure. We need to shift to digitization. You know, we're this magnificent building that we've just shut down, that in 2004, when the company launched in digital, it looked like something out of NASA. And it had people walking around in white coats, and there were thousands of people in there, and beautiful gleaming servers. That got replaced with a suitcase last year.
It's interesting, isn't it? A very honest Patrick Delaney there, and you can hear the full interview on the Tim Burrows Unmade podcast. We love Tim Burrows. He's been on TV Black Box many times. I love his honesty. Tim asked one question. We got 5 minutes or whatever it was of Patrick talking, and there's a lot more, and Tim becomes very involved. He asks very good questions. Malk, you've been road testing Hubble. Yes. Give us your quick takeaway. I'm getting one this week, but I'm not at home, so I'll be trialling it late next week. But just give me your quick takeaways, because there is a full review on the tvblackbox.com.au website.
Yeah, I punched that up and it's available. You can see it there. It's all ready to go. It's a first look after a couple of hours use and setup. There is a sizable login burden.
For the first time.
Understandably, for the first time.
Yeah, and you're going to have to dig out all your passwords to all the different streaming services.
If you're not a subscriber to Netflix or Disney Plus or those kinds of things, you can sign up in and through and even have Hubble manage the payment of that, and you get that stacking discount. But if you've got those accounts external, you can just log them in. It doesn't take them from you, and you can still use them elsewhere, blah, blah, blah. It's great. It grows as far as like the algorithm learns what you watch and the things that are on your watch list, and so therefore recommendations come and that sort of stuff builds in. It's pretty slick, honestly. I really enjoyed and have been enjoying. I point over here because this is where it is. How it functions and the shared capability of it. There's a really great question. I'm just going to refer to it quickly. The issue I would have is it seems, this is from Dees. The issue I would have, it seems there's no casting function on Hubble to cast to a different TV, such as a bedroom.
Cool.
There is a reason for that. They want you to buy a separate Hubble for that bedroom and log it into the same account so that then you've got the access, what you put on your watch list or start and then pause out here, you go into the bedroom and it picks up where you left off. So they want you to use separate
devices.
Could
you have a Hubble, and like me, I'm on the road a lot these days, take it with me and plug it into hotel TVs?
Absolutely. In fact, because the very nature of it is you need power and Wi-Fi and HDMI and that's it. So as long as you've got free-to-air IP streaming account, so an account with ABC iView, SBS On Demand, 7 Plus, 9 Now, 10 Play, and they're signed into it, unless you're going to travel interstate and then it sort of poses questions about which news service you're going to get, you know, presented to you and those sorts of things, you don't need to plug an antenna in to make it go. It just goes using the Wi-Fi and all of the IP streams.
Quick question from Thomas, mate. What would sway someone to get Hubble over, say, an Apple TV?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Price, predominantly. The Apple TV is way more expensive, but it has a deeper and richer experience, particularly if you're sitting in the Apple ecosystem. The benefit straight away, I would say, for the Hubble over the Apple TV beyond the price issue is absolutely going to be that integrated right at the front screen rails. Here is all of my content. You don't have to go into the apps to start watching things. You go, oh, here's this thing. Press play, go, and it goes. Whereas on Apple TV, you've got to go into Binge or go into Disney Plus to start that thing. Now, you can still do that on the Hubble, but predominantly they present all of the stuff to your face. So it's just like two clicks and you're going.
Well, we better mention Robbo's name because his ADHD is kicking in and he's been looking at his computer, going up to the screen. And Robbo, you do not have a poker face, I'll tell you that much.
Sorry, I don't have a Hubble. So how about I get a Hubble and then I'll love on it? But I don't have a Hubble, so I don't care for it. I think it's stupid. Give me a Hubble.
$99 and you can love on it.
Yeah.
Did you pay $99 for it? Did you?
No, but I'm working my ass for it for review purposes.
Yeah, well, I want one too, please. Thank you.
Right, are you going to review it, Robert?
That's the way to go.
Yeah, of course.
All right, moving on.
I thought so.
Because the weak advertising market continues to hurt the industry with news of New Zealand's two.
Yeah.
Sorry, I apologize. The weak advertising market continues to hurt the industry with news one of New Zealand's top two major free-to-air TV networks has gutted its newsroom. This was really badly written by me. More than 200 people are out of work after News Hub made the decision, blaming a change in viewer habits and poor advertising market. Malk, here in Australia, news is often the top-rating shows of the night. We've seen the presenters of their 6 p.m. news go. I don't know if New Zealand doesn't have, the legislation that requires them to deliver news. I'm a little bit confused about all this, but it certainly has got rid of their digital offerings and generally not good for the industry.
It's significantly downsized the newsroom is what it's done and shrunk a bunch of their platforms and programs. They do still present a news product. It's just not as regionalized, localized as it was. And absolutely all of their web-based services are gone from a news perspective. So it's diabolical in that regard, and it's absolutely about cost saving, and it absolutely should send a chill up every online newspaper service thing, television
but
business.
Where does that leave us? Because on Australian TV, news is the number one and two, Nine News and Seven News are the number one and two shows of the night. So what does that mean for their transition to digital? I mean, surely we still want, and yes, Rob did interrupt his own intros. We would have usually cut that out. I thought 7 and 9 would actually have a strong play moving to digital, offering a service no one else really is, and the ABC as well. Does this mean this won't work for them?
Look, I'm not sure I entirely get the guts of your question. However,
well, what I'm saying is that as 7 and 9 and the ABC move to an online streaming service, and that's what they want to become, would local news not be one of their big sells?
You would think that, except that they've managed to, in this current broadcasting era, downsize and shrink and retract their local news footprint into about two or three places total in the states that they represent those things, and have maybe a journalist in the local area to cover extra bits to file stories for something else. It's a challenge because, understandably, there is more and more cost effectiveness in having a centralized newsroom. Right. So rather than, and 7 is a great example, right? They've got a huge regional footprint that doesn't have lots of regional newsrooms. They've got a journalist here and a journalist here and a journalist here, and they're filing stories.
I mean, the regions are covered, but Robbo, you haven't had a chance for a while and you wanted to jump in.
I do, but New Zealand doesn't have news regulation laws. That's
that was my question.
We have them. New Zealand does not. And you can better believe that if the bosses of certain networks here in Australia had the same laws or lack thereof of New Zealand, newsrooms would be shut right across the country.
I guess
we are very lucky here, though, to have that regulation of having to, broadcast so many hours
for
of
now,
news
Robert.
Per day.
It doesn't matter, Robbo, because news rates here in Australia.
No, which I understand that, but that's the difference, though. I know for a certain network, if they could get rid of news, it would be gutted.
Because I wonder who you're talking about, but they have pretty much have done that at 10.
They have.
They're all
up until the point.
It's not just 10.
No, there is a lot of money
until
going
the point
to
of
news
regulation,
rooms,
no.
100%.
Up until the point of regulation.
Yeah.
So it is to the bone at 10 because it's regulation. In New Zealand, they don't have the same thing. So that's why they're able to do this. It is such a sad day because you need local journalism to hold people to account. Now, we're talking about regional areas. So there's lots of regional areas in New Zealand, obviously lots of regional areas in Australia. If you can't hold the local councils, the local council people to account, you've got a real problem. And that's what I think the massive issue here is. Also with what we're talking about, Meta, but also talking about with this, with local newsrooms. If you can't hold people to account, they get away with murder, and that's the problem. That's
Gavin says scary. Regarding news, it rates, but for how much longer? I still think there is an appetite there for the 6 p.m. news because we have so much information everywhere. People actually want an easy, digestible way to get their nightly news service. Now, having said that, it's really the first segment that I tune in for, whether I watch 7, 9.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And it really though, does Rob. Come on to the tease whether I hang around for another
segment. Very true.
And how long is that going to last for, though? Like, the reality is the reason why the news rates so highly is because people of a certain age and older tune in still. Mm. Everybody under that certain age, hit and miss, or they're getting their news from other places in other ways. So the challenge right now is, yes, particularly the 6 o'clock news for the commercials, hotly, just all over the money every night. It's the thing. It's not going to last because particularly the target audiences that tune into that are, without being indiscreet, dying.
Mm. Okay. That noise means it's time to open the TV Binge Box.
Yeah, I'm all for this. I'm all for it. I love it.
Can we have an on-air meeting just really quickly now? Can we stop that?
No, I love it. I love it. No, I love it. I love
that effect just so I could do the TV Binge Box.
Yeah, I'm all for it. I adore it. I'm all for it.
I have been watching I love Jennifer Lawrence, so I did watch No Hard Feelings, which is available on Binge and Prime Video. So I watched that, and look, it's easy throwaway chewing gum movie, but I really liked it. You knew where it was going, but you enjoyed the ride anyway. Mulk, I took your suggestion and watched Shogun on Disney Plus. I had been Disney are annoying me in the loveliest way. I did get sent the episodes, but they do this thing where they expire them. And by the time I realized it was something I wanted to see, all the episodes are gone. So I'm watching it with everyone else, which is good. Fine. Great. No dramas, Robbo. No dramas. but it's fantastic. And I've just got to mention, because it's a great series, set in the year 1600 in Japan. Mark mentioned it last week, so I'm just dropping that in. And I have never really been a Curb Your Enthusiasm fan. I've never really watched it. Hang on. No. I've just never really been there for it. So I decided to go, now that it's finishing, I decided to go back and watch from episode one, which is on Binge, and I'm loving it. And it's a little bit dated, obviously, because it's been going for so long. But I hate the fact sometimes I miss the boat on these things because life gets in the way, but it's a really good series. And sometimes it's fun to go and discover those things. My next one is going to be The Sopranos because I never watched that and I really feel like I missed out.
I've tried before. Yeah.
It's one of those big ones. Jason says, oh, no, what is Mr. McKnight ever going to do with our preview episodes? All right, Jason. by the way, Jason tonight has been Team Robbo and Team Mulk. Don't think I haven't noticed, Jason. And so, so I'm really enjoying Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's my Robbie flashback.
Wow.
It's a flashback. It's just, Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Robbo, what have you been watching?
Brickleberry on Netflix, which is an animated TV show. It is outrageous. It is not politically correct. It is everything I love in a comedy. It is brilliant. You will sit there and you will laugh and you will also go, oh, you can't say that, but I love that you said it. It is outrageous. You cannot watch it with your little kids. Maybe not watch it with your grandmother. It is Family Guy plus Big Mouth times a million. It is outrageous, and I loved it. Brickleberry on Netflix. My other one, of course, is Curb Your Enthusiasm. I've watched this from the beginning. I adore this show. I absolutely love it. That's on Binge as well, the final season, season 12, Larry David. Kind of, you know, real life, but kind of not, but you think it is quite a lot of real life. Larry David says everything that you wish that you could say to people all the time. And I sit there and I just have FOMO in real life of going, I wish I could walk up to the person and tell them to fuck off. There is so many people in my life.
in the early days of Seinfeld where Jason Alexander said, who would say this? No one would say this. And Larry David walked up to him and said, what are you talking about? I said this. That's exactly what happened. And Jason Alexander went, okay, I get George now. He's George.
Hold on. Wait. You've tried to do impersonations over the years and also, you know, accents. That was the best one I've ever heard. That sounded like Larry David. That was really good. Like you had that kind of breathy kind of voice that he had. You did it. Curb Your Enthusiasm on Binge. Season 12, the final season, is out now. It is brilliant. They have new episodes every Monday. So I've got one to look forward to tonight. And also Brickleberry on Netflix. Do not watch it if you're faint of heart, but just have some fun. It's just jokes. Remember what it is? It's just jokes. Don't get offended. It's just jokes. If you don't like it, switch it off.
If you don't like it, don't watch it.
Correct.
Mocky, what have you been watching?
Just before I jump in, it would be fair for us to remember that given your Curb Your Enthusiasm love, that we should make note that Richard Lewis, old mate Larry David passed away. They were good friends. Richard was a big part of the Curb Your Enthusiasm family, a comedian that popped up on heaps and heaps of shows. Very, huge. Very funny.
Literally in episode huge. One of Curb.
He was, and also, if you remember back, he was the sheriff of Nottingham in Mel Brooks' Men in Tights.
Hey. If you're just new to the show, Rob, you can't call it Curb. Okay, you need to watch a season. You can't shorten it to Curb.
One episode, mate, is not Curb.
Let me tell you, I'm more than one episode in.
You can't say Curb yet.
One.
Yeah, well, you can't say Curb. Yeah, so just Curb. Nah.
Monkey, that's your word.
Great, thanks for that. I appreciate it. Friends, I am absolutely loving sick the fact that Survivor, the American version, is back. Season 46 kicked off last week, and they're still doing the hour-and-a-half episodes that come out as COVID hangover. Yes, Rob?
John Stanley said, once upon a time it had so much money, but they've obviously reduced the budget because they're going back to the same locations, i.e. Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves Survivor.
Right, they've done a long-term deal with Fiji. Because think about it, it is an expensive project to go location, lift everything up, move it to different locations. They've now got an established, effectively, city that allows them to film two seasons.
So it's like I'm a Celebrity where they do it the same place every year.
Only for the base camp. It's same country, yes, not the same islands.
Right. Okay, interesting.
So, and they've got like a marine crew, they build their own boats, they're building all sorts of crazy stuff. It's amazing what they do behind the scenes. Very excellent Survivor podcast hosted by Jeff Probst that you can catch as well.
Celebrity Big Brother UK started last night, Joel says. Oh my God, I've missed it. I've got to go and see it. Can my secret squirrel send me links? He knows who I'm talking about.
Speaking into the universe, Rob is right there, friends. So season 46 of American Survivor is back. Jeff is as Jeff as ever, and it's so good. I'm really, really loving it. Thursday nights, 7:30, 9 go, hour and a half episodes. So prepare yourself for all of
that. Is that too much?
Across the season, it becomes quite a burden because there's a lot to watch because they have built up and opened up their storytelling to fill out that hour and a half. And they've talked about this on the podcast, that it gave them the chance to reveal more about the individual players.
I don't mind that idea.
It's great. It's really good. But if you don't watch it live or consume it quickly thereafter, it just becomes another 90-minute show that you've got to watch at some point.
Yeah, which is a problem.
It just becomes a challenge, right? So loving that Survivor is back. I am particularly, friends, you may have missed it tonight, but Married at First Sight is just going from weird shit to weird shit and getting crazier and bigger and drama to drama. And it like just plug me in and pour it into my veins. It is despicable and amazing and loving and horrible, and I cannot miss a minute of it. Of course, that is four nights a week on Channel 9 right now, or 9 now if you want to catch up on it. And I have no justification for it. It's just horrible and great, and I love it. So Married at First Sight is a thing. A quick up mulk and a quick down mulk. I was really wanting The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, to be great. This is the spin-off with Rick and Michonne in it and their survival in the Walking Dead universe. It's not great. Down mulk. But I know I raved about Shogun last week. Friends, you have it all coming down your path. big up, Malt. Shogun, still massive on Disney+.
It's great. It really is great. And thank you to everyone who's been sending us messages. We've just received a message from Restream. I've received 100 messages today with Restream chat. So thank you, everyone. We love that. Really enjoy that. Thank you for all the text coming through on what you're watching. We'll try and include that. Well, I'll try and do... Night Court from Matthew... Crash Landing on You, Netflix. Australian Survivor, Dylan says, Australian Survivor Drag Race, US and UK versus the World, Curb, Media Watch Bites and The Weekly. Excited for Celebrity Big Brother. That's where I saw that.
Yep.
Ford says, I've been watching the Chinese drama My Mr. Mermaid, 26 episodes down, 10 to go.
Holy shit, hang on, 36 episodes?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, that used to be like a normal season of Blue Heelers.
And that's like fine, 40. But we are so far past that now.
Clint Trice says, watching Kitchen Nightmares, loving it both on 7 and 7 Flicks. Also, new eps and don't forget the lyrics on Arena. So, thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Unfortunately, the music isn't resetting and is coming in halfway through. I'll fix that for next week, hopefully. that brings us to the end. If you are watching the live stream, well, in an hour, go and join me on 2GB as I do an hour of TV with John Stanley. Mock, I don't care if you don't like me doing a plug. I'm going to do it. Don't forget, for all the latest TV news, go to tvblackbox.com.au. It's been another great week. We love your feedback. We are here at 8 o'clock Sydney, Melbourne time every Tuesday. That is 7 o'clock in Queensland, 7:30 in South Australia, and I want to say 5 o'clock in WA?
Close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 5 o'clock in WA. Yeah. So come and join myself, Rob McKnight, the viewer, David Robinson, and the viewer's advocate, Steve Mulk. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.